Live from New York, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, we're going to have the latest on health and healing, including herbs and spices that are good for your heart health, and 6 hours of increased memory by adding a simple item to your breakfast. And a simple tree leaf kills bacteria that leads to food poisoning, and a rare herb that is vital for women's health, and a lot more, including 5 key reasons to include hemp seeds in your daily diet. And then we're going to talk with Ronnie Cummings. Ronnie Cummings is one of the most important voices in educating the public about the importance of organic gardening and farming, and why GMOs should be banned and at the very least labeled, because we've just gone through a massive effort in Colorado and Oregon. By the way, where it was defeated in Colorado, it's only been defeated by a small number of votes. It's about 49.6% against or for labeling, and just at 50.4%, so there's only about 60,000 votes. So they're recounting the votes right now. In any case, they spent tens of millions of dollars, the GMO industry, in convincing people don't label GMOs. So they're going to continue these attacks. They'll attack those of us who believe the GMOs are unscientific, meaning there's no science proving their safety, but a lot of science proving their harm. And so we're going to continue this effort. Now, let's begin. Oh, and finally, we're going to talk with people who have just finished a 3-month health support group, and I want you to hear their input and what has changed. Unrehearsed, I'm not going to know until you know what changes have occurred in 3 months. These are people who came in having medical records. They were diabetic, had high blood pressure, were overweight and elevated cholesterol. Not just for flavor, herbs and spices are good for your heart. Now, this is from Penn State University, published in the peer-reviewed journal Nutrition Today. And they're saying that, quote, antioxidant-rich spices and herbs could help improve triglyceride concentrations and other blood lipids, and that would help you if you have, let's say, heart conditions. It could prevent cardiovascular problems. And we're not talking about a lot, but we're talking about things that the average person doesn't take in. The average American does not eat many herbs or spices. They have salt and pepper. That's it. Quote, the metabolic effects of spices and herbs and their efficacy and safety relative to traditional drug therapy represents an exciting area for future research given the public health significance of cardiovascular disease. We live in a world where people consume too many calories every day. Adding high antioxidant spices might be a way to reduce calories without sacrificing taste. So, then they went into all the different herbs that are good for you. But you already know all these herbs, and I'm sure that you're using them on a regular basis. And by the way, you can grow these on your own windowsill indoors or in little herb boxes outdoors, or you can take a wall of your house that you're not using and build yourself a rack. And then you simply put your herbs on those racks and put a grow light on it. That way, no matter what the weather outside, you're growing rosemary, oregano, cinnamon, cloves, paprika, turmeric, ginger. You're growing all these. Basil, all these you can grow. Cardamom, yeah. So that's good. And it helps your heart and lowers your cholesterol. Now, according to some good research published in the Asian Pacific Journal of Clinical Nutrition, you could increase your memory and help you with diabetic and pre-diabetic conditions if you simply, in the morning, used one ingredient. And what is that ingredient? Just a fourth of a teaspoon of turmeric. Quote, 1/4 teaspoon of turmeric could improve the memory of people who are in the very early stages of diabetes who are at risk of cognitive impairment. Now, why is this important? Because cognitive impairment and dementia become connected to diabetes, and so it just makes sense that if you could use something like curcumin, which is the active ingredient, and by the way, just so you understand, the herb itself is called turmeric, T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C, but the active ingredient is curcumin, cure, C-U-R, cumin, C-U-M-I-N. That accounts for about 4 or 5% of turmeric, but it's extremely powerful in helping reduce the risk of dementia. Therefore, I would suggest that you have the bioavailable curcumin and use it as if you're suffering from dementia or memory problems by itself, like 1,000, 2,000 milligrams of curcumin a day. That would do you a lot of good. And it also helps with diabetes. Now, then they found out that a simple tree leaf kills bacteria that leads to food poisoning. How bad is food poisoning? Well, last year, 48 million Americans suffered from food poisoning. 128,000 were hospitalized. 3,000 died from foodborne disease. So it's very serious. And that's because a lot of things that people eat, they eat when it's expired or when it's exposed to high temperatures, like when they're outside. But even eating in a natural restaurant, you could get sick if you don't see that they're practicing good hygiene. That's one reason I never eat raw foods out. Now, I make raw foods constantly, but I have to be very concerned about hygiene, cleanliness. But you should also be concerned, because if someone has dirty hands and dirty fingers and is making you a salad and you don't see that, whatever's on their hands now is on your salad, in your body, and food poisoning. According to an article in the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry, carob leaves, carob, C-A-R-O-B, target microbes like a very serious one, listeriosis, which causes one of the most serious forms of food poisoning, and you get very nauseous, you have stomach cramps, you have a fever, and that's from that one single microbe. Well, carob leaves, from which it comes from the carob plant, and for those who don't want chocolate, historically they've used carob, and it tastes very similar to chocolate, but it has very strong antibacterial properties, and it can kill microbes, including those causing foodborne illnesses. So, the takeaway message is this. Let's say that you've eaten out, and then a couple hours later you start to get an upset stomach, maybe some diarrhea. Make yourself a thick carob shake, and also put 1 teaspoon of Manuka honey in there, and then mix that up and take that, drink it down with the carob, and the carob will work on your food poisoning. The Manuka honey will work on your food poisoning, and it'll kill the Listeria, a monocytogenes that cause food poisoning outbreaks in dozens of states and kills people. It could help you. And then take activated charcoal, about 10 capsules, and that'll trap a lot of the microorganism in the excess air. So, something that simple. Now, for women's health, then we have a lot of women listening right now, and their bodies are susceptible, especially when it comes to hormone balances and imbalances. And so in order to have a way of dealing with all the GMOs and pesticides and herbicides, the high stresses, there's a simple herb that can make a difference. And it's been used for thousands of years. And the herb in Sanskrit means the cure for 100 diseases. And let me spell it for you. Shatavarya. Shatavari. Shatavari is a very, very good plant, and it's rich in plant fennels. The plant looks like a combination of asparagus and a fern, and it creates an anabolic action in the body. Now, it's found in Asia, India, Australia, and Africa, and it's actually from the asparagus family. Now, you've heard me mention many times why you have to pay attention whether what you're eating is anabolic or catabolic. And the anabolic action of the plant is also extremely healing. And the anabolic action is related to the feminine response in the body, and the catabolic is related to the male response in the body. And when these actions are balanced, then the reproductive system, hormonal system, work as they should. What do we know about the Shatavari and helping women? We know it helps release excess water during menstruation, and especially edema. That's good. If you're a nursing mother, it helps increase breast milk. It supports women who've had a hysterectomy and are by rebalancing hormones. It helps maintain a good quality pH in the vagina. Otherwise, a lot of women end up with dry membranes and therefore have a lot of difficulty with intimacy. It helps with fertility. It helps give the body isoflavones, and which is good. It helps alleviate heartburn and colitis. It diminishes fever and inflammation and reverses stomach ulcers. And in places that have cholera and typhoid, in E. coli and Staphylococcus aureus, it helps kill that. It fights it. So it's quite frankly an amazing, amazing herb. It also helps relieve stress. So write it down, because it's an antibacterial. It's a demucilant. It's a digestive aid. It's a rich antioxidant. And it's one of the best reproductive tonics for women. I'll spell it again in case you didn't write it down. Shatavari. Now, why should we be having hemp butter, which is like almond butter, but even more nutritious? Because what are the highly unsaturated fatty acids, the LNA and the LAs, because the body makes for them the production of energy and electron exchange and oxygen, oxygenating the tissue, especially the brain, the retina, the inner ear, the adrenals, and the testes. They carry the high energy required by the most active tissue. So just keep in mind, you're getting the correct proportion of 3-to-1 omega-3 to omega-6 fatty acids, and the hemp seeds contain all 8 essential amino acids and 2 conditionally essential amino acids. Now, we need 21 amino acids to survive. 8 of these must be obtained because we are not eating meat, so we want to get them from vegetable sources. And watching your vegetable source, you can get them. So that's one of the reasons that we should be having that. And also, olive leaf extract is as effective as a typical diabetic drug. This is from the University of Auckland in New Zealand. Quote, researchers from the University of Auckland have discovered that an olive leaf extract has the ability to decrease insulin resistance and increase the production of insulin by the pancreas. This is one of the main problems that most diabetics patients suffer from, the lack of proper insulin balance in the body. And so they did the tests with people, and they came away with very positive results. So you've got the hydroxytyrosol, the active ingredient in olives and olive leaf extract, very good for you. So, if you are a person who has had problems with insulin, you certainly want to consider that. And finally, the omega-3 fatty acids can help children with ADD and ADHD. That's according to the newest study that I read. And I would agree that all children, not just those diagnosed, should have that on a daily basis. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and nutrition. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Noll. Now let's go to our guest, Ronnie Cummins. Ronnie is in Minnesota. He's the executive director of the Organic Consumers Association. He is the author of Genetically Engineered Foods, a self-defense guide for consumers. With almost 1 million members, the association is a nonprofit public interest organization campaigning for sustainable health and justice on critical issues of food safety, industrial agriculture, genetic engineering, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Ronnie has been a lifelong activist in the human rights, anti-nuclear, labor, and agricultural movements. In the 1990s, he worked closely with futurist and activist Jeremy Rifkin on economic trends and Rifkin's Beyond Beef campaign. His current goal through the association is to increase organic agriculture to at least 30% by the year 2015 and to further a global moratorium on genetically engineered crops. Ronnie's writings appear on numerous alternative and independent news outlets. His website is organicconsumers.org. Nice to have you with us today, Ronnie.
Good to have you as, my host again.
Although over 90% of Americans want GMO labeling, we are still fighting one of the most vicious and criminal and unethical corporations in the world, along with other chemical companies and their allies and organizations as the Grocery Manufacturers Association. And although the labeling bill failed in Colorado and possibly will fail in Oregon, Big Ag's attacks are relentless, even when labeling laws are passed at the state level, such as Vermont or in Hawaii, where even growing GMOs is suspended. And with an army of lawyers, these corporate alliances will take every measure to act against the will of the majority of people. Even worse, our justice and court system, which is equally corrupt, will likely rule in favor of these corporate monsters. So please lay out a strategy that should be followed to fight against these non-democratic corporate behemoths.
Well, I think one thing we should take note of is this May passage earlier this year in Vermont of a mandatory GMO food labeling law was a strategic victory. It will be nice to pass mandatory GMO labeling laws in other states, but I think it's important to look at what the law in Vermont already does. It presents a tremendous problem for companies like Coca-Cola and all the other 300 big food members of the Grocery Manufacturers Association, because what are they going to do? Just label in Vermont and then not label in the other 49 states and Canada and Mexico? That will produce a tremendous public relations problem for them. So that's the reason why the GMA has sued Vermont in federal court, trying to reverse that law, because they know that one state passing a law, which we already have, is a tremendous problem for them. The other problem they have is that retail natural food stores are now starting to say that they're going to label all the GMO products in their stores. For example, Whole Foods Market has said they'll label all 40,000 food items that they sell in their stores, including meat and animal products and items from their deli or takeout. The natural grocers chain has a similar policy, and other independent natural food stores are certainly going to be following. So what this means is in the United States, we have about 100,000 processed foods, different processed foods in supermarkets. And if 40,000 of them, the ones that are already in Whole Foods and other natural food stores, have to label or else reformulate and get the GMOs out, well, that's a big chunk. And these companies, again, they're not going to label or reformulate just for Whole Foods while they dump the GMO-tainted stuff in Kroger's and Safeway and Giant and all the rest. If they reformulate, they're going to do it all over the place. So industry is beside themselves. Coca-Cola and others, in addition to the problem of having to reformulate, are seeing their profits go down in the United States for the first time, really, in 30 years. So McDonald's panicked at our petition campaign to, try to pressure them not to use these new genetically engineered potatoes, the innate potatoes they announced the other day. They wouldn't use them. Starbucks is under pressure for, you know, serving up Monsanto milk in their coffees. That is milk from cows fed GMOs. Ben and Jerry's is under attack all across the board. So I think we're winning the battle, but obviously big food and big biotech are, pretty vicious adversaries. So you mentioned that the polls always show that 90% of Americans would like to know whether their food is genetically engineered or not. I think what California Ballot Initiative in 2012 and Washington State in 2013 and then this year in Oregon and Colorado has shown that if industry is willing to spend millions and millions of dollars, $100 million as they've spent so far, to confuse voters, they can confuse voters against their common sense that, well, although I support genetically engineered food being labeled, if it's going to hurt small farmers in my state, well, maybe I won't vote for it. Or if it's going to raise my grocery store bill, well, maybe I can't afford that. Or they keep saying, well, it's got all these exemptions. Well, it's not going to include meat and animal products and restaurant food. Well, I mean, the reason why these ballot initiatives don't require labeling of meat products that where the animals were fed genetically engineered ingredients is that federal law, that is the meat industry, has caused federal law to make it illegal for a state to do anything about the labels on meat products. So the reason why meat and animal products have not been covered up until now in these ballot initiatives is that they'd be overthrown in federal court. Now, some of us are looking at step two in this process, and there are some possibilities for forcing restaurants to divulge whether their restaurant chains to divulge whether their products are coming from factory farms where, you know, the animals are routinely not only fed GMOs, but fed other nasty stuff like blood and manure and slaughterhouse waste and, you know, given antibiotics and growth promoters and, you know, other horrific practices in the industry. So they haven't heard, they're going to see some other attempts in the marketplace and through legislation to require companies and restaurants to divulge whether, stuff is from factory farms. So the battle is just beginning, and industry, we're already seeing big divisions between some of these big food companies and Monsanto and the rest. So I think it's been well worth the effort, but of course, genetically engineered ingredients are not the only problem with the food chain. I mean, many of us can remember way back in 1994 when there were no genetically engineered foods on the market, and certainly the food and farming system was in terrible shape then. It's in worse shape now, as is public health, but we have got to see GMOs as just the cornerstone of this industrial agriculture factory farm system that we've got to get rid of. and move as quickly as possible to organic and safe and healthy food. Hopefully, food that's produced locally and regionally rather than transported all the way across the continent or across the world.
Ronnie, an issue that's not receiving near the attention it deserves in the main major media, not even within the climate change and environmental movement in the alternative media, is the huge risks for a national collapse of our industrial monocrop paradigm of agriculture. And with the majority of agricultural land in the United States today dedicated to either GMO or chemical fertilizers and pesticides, our food security is reaching life support status, and resilience upon most of the systems we're using, they're not resilient. They're failing. For example, look at the 50% of all beehives that have collapsed through colony collapse. Now we know this through neonicotinoid pesticides and also the transportation of these bees from one area of America to the next and giving them poor diets like sugar water. I'm a beekeeper, so I know how to keep bees healthy. I've had one hive for 19 years alone. And yet, all across America, people are not seeing the bees that they have, not realizing over one-third of all the food that we eat every day comes from pollination of bees. So that's a lack of resilience. We also have we have no interest in our society of taking on the big ag companies and getting rid of these neonicotinoids. We keep asking for more studies and more studies and more studies. That's just a game. The tobacco industry did the same thing. Well, just like humans, plants also have immune systems, and the GM chemical means of agriculture is weakening crop immunity dramatically. Extreme weather conditions, subtle changes in the seasons, droughts and diminished water resources due to climate change and global warming only increases the stress food crops must endure to provide food on our tables. And at some time, it is my belief that a tipping point will be reached and we can anticipate entire farms, whole states, and harvest being simply wiped out of their food. Now, it seems impossible, but I've been there. I've been all over America, and I've seen what's happening. How would you frame the argument to indict these corporations?
If you look at it closely, the GMOs are just a delivery system for toxic pesticides and herbicides and fungicides. And, you know, the overwhelming majority of genetically engineered seeds are coated in these neonic poisons. So it's not just a question of banning neonics. We've got to ban GMO seeds from being coated with them. And we've got to pay attention to the fact that we've got more power now in the marketplace in some ways than we've ever had. Whereas the federal government level seems to be nearly impossible to wake them up. So what we're working on, Organic Consumers Association with our allies, are passing these bans on pesticides at the county level and pushing for moratoriums or bans at the state level on the neonics. But we're also protesting outside Home Depot and Lowe's and Walmart stores because a huge amount of the neonic plants and seeds are actually sold right in our communities in these garden stores. And we've got to put the screws to the giants of the garden supply industry, Walmart and Lowe's and Home Depot, to force them to stop selling not only neonics, but they're selling right on their shelves Roundup herbicide. They're selling 2,4-D herbicide, and their customers are going in there and they're not aware of the hazards of these. People take these home, spray them around their home. You know, their kids are crawling in the grass. It's a disaster. So anyone who's concerned about GMOs needs to get concerned immediately, if you're not already, about pesticides and neonics and preserving bees and butterflies and babies and all of us. So this is not just about labeling GMOs or even banning GMOs. This is about moving from this this criminal, chemically intensive, energy intensive system of food and farming that's been thrust upon us since the Second World War. And moving back in the direction farming was for 10,000 years before that, which is agroecology or organic. Another major thing people don't understand about this industrial agriculture GMO system is that it's killing the soil. It's killing the soil's ability to do what it naturally does, which is work with plants and trees and grass through photosynthesis to sequester the CO2 in the atmosphere. I mean, basically what plants and trees and grass do are they suck in CO2, you know, and they release oxygen. And they, you know, if you've got healthy soil, that is soil that hasn't been killed with herbicides and chemical fertilizers and so on, it can sequester a tremendous amount of this CO2. Since the advent of so-called modern agriculture, 255 parts per million of CO2 that were safely secured in the soil, doing what carbon in the soil does, nourishing microorganisms, nourishing plants and trees and grass. But anyway, there used to be 255 parts per million of CO2 in the soil that's now up in the atmosphere or in the ocean, heating up the ocean, acidifying the ocean. At least 100 parts per million of that CO2 back down where it belongs in the soil. And the only way we're going to do that is by bring back the level of plant, grass, and tree photosynthesis that we had before this onslaught of industrial agriculture.
Ronnie, I just have one more question. I recently had Professor Michael Antonio, as well as Claire Robinson in the United Kingdom, on the program to speak about the biotech industry's false claims and promises about GMOs and pesticide safety to humans, animals, and the environment. What we are continuing to observe is a gradual eroding away of the industry's assurances regarding GMO crops as the way of the future. As further independent research appears, such as the Seralini study, to deconstruct and debunk Big Ag's GM propaganda, we would anticipate their counter tactics to become more vicious and their own research trials become more sloppy and less credible and convincing. This is certainly the case of Monsanto's most recent study release claiming safety of its GM maize. So on the one hand, we're witnessing Big Agra's losing the larger war and certainly having lost the confidence of the average American. And internationally, the backlash against Monsanto is more fierce. So where do you see that positive gains have been made against Big Agra's agenda?
Well, I think one thing is that we're now starting to see international trade war extending into GMOs. The Chinese are not approving any more GMO crops, and this has caused a huge number of lawsuits in the United States. Syngenta has been sued for over $1 billion, including by some of the nasty Big Ag groups like Archer Daniels Midland. Why is that? Because Syngenta released a variety of genetically engineered corn on the market in the United States, knowing full well that it had not yet been approved in China. And so it contaminated just about the entire corn crop in the United States, the non-organic corn crop. And so these big companies started, shipping this year's corn over to China, and China rejected every load. It's caused massive losses. Also, Russia has recently banned GMOs, period. And it's been a great boon for organic producers in Russia. But also the Soviet Union has now joined in with non-governmental organizations around the world to do a $25 million study on glyphosate, Monsanto's toxic herbicide. You know, and the industry has always made these nitpicky criticisms of studies like the Seralini study and so on that show just how dangerous this Roundup herbicide is and the GMO crops that it's sprayed on. But now it looks like there's going to be enough money for labs in the United States and Italy and the National Academy of Sciences in Russia to do the kind of study on Roundup that has never been done up until now, partly because it costs a lot of money to cover each and every aspect of a long-term study.
Well, I appreciate you sharing these insights. All of us are concerned with the agricultural items in the new Trans-Pacific and Atlantic trade partnerships that Obama is trying to secretly approve without Congress's oversight. And if ratified at this moment, they would essentially ban genetically modified labeling and would only label opponents of GMOs and big agri-corporation as terrorists. So we're very concerned about where we're going on this, and we appreciate all the good work that you and the million strong you have with your organization out there at Organic Consumers Association. We don't have the power in the media. We don't have the power in Congress, but we have the power of the people. So continued good efforts on your behalf. The website is organicconsumers.org. Thanks a lot, Ronnie Cummins.
Thank you, Gary. Bye-bye.
Back in a moment with some very interesting testimonials. Please stay with us.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Now for something that we haven't done in a long time, years, and that is invite people who have just completed a health support group, a random sampling, to share some of their experiences. Just a little background. 3 months ago, we started a program. 3 months before that, we invited people in the audience who had diagnosis of diabetes, high blood pressure, who were overweight, who had allergies, and who could document it medically to submit these. Lou Ann Panessi went through and reviewed all of them, and then that group of individuals began a process. At no time did they focus upon anything medical. In fact, they were able to continue with their physicians and meds if they were on them. This was purely a lifestyle and behavior modification. The diet and exercise and stress management was the small part of the protocol. The larger part of the protocol and more challenging was, what do we believe? How does that belief impact us? Have we been living an authentic life? Have we been living in the light of our life? Or have we just been reacting like conditioned drones every day of our life, going through the routines and rituals and honoring the routines and rituals and conditioned beliefs instead of anything that is our own making? And most people were very successful, meaning they were successful at living someone else's life, up till this group. And so that's a hard, hard lesson to learn. You got to look in the mirror and not make excuses of, not be angry with what is reflecting back. You just have to be compassionate, patient, and know, okay, that's the total accumulation of everything I've made in my life, every choice I've engaged. This is a result. Now, I'm sure people in this audience have heard me talk about everything in life is an exchange of energy. So the whole purpose of this health support group was to get people to make healthy exchanges. Instead of bacon and eggs, juices, smoothies. Instead of thinking they couldn't do something, have a can-do positive attitude. Instead of accepting lies or engaging in lies in relationships, just be honest. And do that with everything. Now, there's a consequence to being honest, and there's a consequence to authentic change. Normally, when we make any change in our life, people are fearful of it because they don't know how their change will impact upon other people. So we don't always have people who are supported, and in fact, sometimes the people in their own family are antagonistic to the changes they're making. And that's rather ironic, because here you could have a person on high blood med, the elevated cholesterol on statins, and yet when they go to get off those by making lifestyle changes, that becomes a threat to members of their families. Hard to imagine, but we heard the stories. So now in our studio in New York City, we have some of the individuals. We won't mention their names, just we'll give you their stories. What has changed? Let's begin with you. What's your first name?
James. Hi, Gary. Yeah, when I first came to this group, I suffered from diabetes, high cholesterol, arthritis. Since I've engaged in the protocol, I feel so much better. I enjoy the juicing. I enjoy, you know, the meetings we have every week. I find it very positive, very reaffirming to do this. And I realized that it's a journey, you know, the first step that we've taken. And, we've been given the tools to do this, and it's been fabulous. I mean, it's been life-changing and life-reaffirming. I love it.
Let's take a look real quick. Quick answers. Have you dropped your blood sugar?
Yes. I went from 160 to 142 in the 96 range.
So you went from 160 to 96. You're almost in the normal range. You're almost no longer diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
How about your blood pressure?
My pressure, I'm getting that done tomorrow. But since I've been on this protocol, I haven't eaten any meat or dairy products. So I feel very good about it.
How's your energy?
Oh, wow. Actually, I find I need less sleep.
Okay.
Since I've engaged in this protocol.
How's your pain?
My pain is going down tremendously. I still have some pain here and there, but for the most part, it's really improved a lot. I mean, I can walk further than I used to. I walk up steps with a lot less stress. It's really been fantastic.
And it looks like you've lost weight.
Yes. I've lost up to 15 pounds, at least, and counting.
Excellent. Thank you. What's your first name?
Hi, Gary. I'm John. I came here with high blood pressure, overweight, and arthritic pain in my wrist and shoulder. We needed some work, blood work, to show the difference. So when I went to my doctor, he kind of said, "What are you up to?" And I said, "Well, doc, I'm looking to get off of these meds." And I said, "What do you think?" And he smiled and shook his head. I said, "You don't think I can do it, do you?" And we made a friendly bet. Well, anyway, I've lost 8% of my body weight, which was 15 pounds, and I'm looking for a hole punch for my belt because it's all tightened up now. My arthritic pain in my wrist and shoulder is gone. My hypertension, I'm still on meds. I'm seeing him tomorrow, and I hope to wean myself off. I'm steady at 120 over 65. I was at least 15, 20 points higher. In addition, I got a little extra focused attention. I work on electronics on my job, and I need to look at prints and things, and I don't have that fog. And I've lost the bloated feeling after a meal. I'm a Northern Italian heritage, and I used to clean up. There was no such thing as leftovers. But now I don't need that. The most difficult thing was the positive affirmations and meditation, to give myself time for that. But if you can do that for yourself, it's probably the most rewarding of all the things we've done. By the way, my facial skin is cleared up some, and my whole body skin is smoother, and I'm much more toned. Thank you so much. It's worked well for me.
Thank you. What's your name, please?
My name is Jan. I started this program because I was really, I was just out of control with my eating, having a really hard time. I put on a lot of weight since last Thanksgiving. And so I came because I'm overweight. I have hypertension. I have high cholesterol. I've had rhinitis for several years. I have arthritis, a lot of inflammation in my body. And since I've been doing the program, it's amazing. I mean, number one, I'm not hungry anymore. I'm not hungry. I eat my meals. I enjoy them. I love my shake for breakfast. I have my green juices and my red juices and my fiber. And I don't have to eat a lot for meals because I'm doing all of that stuff. And the other thing is that I was never a snacker. I was never a night eater. But when I sat down to eat, it would be like a huge meal, and I would eat everything, and I would finish, and I would feel very uncomfortable. I had a hiatal hernia. I had a lot of problems with GERD and things like that. And now I have no desire to eat that much food. What I used to eat in one meal is maybe 2 days worth of food now sometimes. I have a tremendous amount of energy, and it just feels wonderful. I was doing aqua classes 3 times a week anyway, but now when I do them, I just, I just feel myself pushing more to do things and working harder at it and, you know, walking and things like that. I couldn't do a lot of walking before because of my hip joint and my knee pain and my back would hurt. And now it's much easier for me to walk, so I can do a little bit of walking. And the rhinitis is practically gone. I'm sleeping much better at night.
How's your blood pressure and your cholesterol?
Yeah, my blood pressure went down. It was averaging about 145, sometimes 150 over 95. And now it's somewhere in the 130 to 135 over, usually it's in the 70s, around 76. Sometimes it's 68 because I've been taking it daily for the last 2 weeks. So that's gone down significantly.
How about your cholesterol?
My cholesterol... I just did the blood work today, so I don't know what it is, but okay. I did go off statins a while ago and against the advice of my cardiologist, and I'm really hoping now with this blood test to show him that, you know, that I don't
need
it.
And how about the weight?
And I've lost about 11 pounds. I lose very slowly, but I'm very happy with it, and, you know, I'm not in a race here, and I have the rest of my life to take off the rest of the weight. So, and it's that's not even my focus now. My focus is just being healthy, and slowly but surely it's coming off. But I think things are changing in my body. I feel like my body's changing. I'm getting a lot of compliments already, and 11 pounds isn't a lot for someone with the weight that I have on me, but people are noticing that something's different.
Great. Give us your name, please.
Hi, Gary. My name is Gladys, and I would like to thank you for the program that you started. This is a continuation from 20 years ago when I started with you, when I used to eat all the different meats and whatnot, and I gave it up then. Because I developed an affiliation with all my four-legged and two-legged friends. So I haven't eaten meat. So coming to this program more or less got me back in the swing of things where I was concentrating on losing weight and getting into a healthier, better state of mind. I also made up my mind a long time ago to change. So I was in that process all the while. So...
What's happened in the last 12 weeks?
The last 12 weeks, I've lost anywhere from 25 to 35 pounds. I've been losing my clothes on the street because I've been running for the bus, and I literally have to hold my skirt up because, you know, it keep on sliding. So I notice, you know, the inches are going down.
How about your energy level?
Very well, very well. I have more energy level. I'm like the little dynamo. I keep on going. And
any pain?
I have a little bit that is in my ankle, but that too is getting better with the exercise and everything.
How about blood pressure and cholesterol?
That has been doing very well. That has been doing very well. And the other day I was checking my heart rate, and I was wondering, I say, is this regular? It was about 59 at rest. So.
And what was it when you started?
Whenever I exercise, it goes up to 140.
Okay.
So, you know.
Those are tremendous changes.
It has been a tremendous journey.
Thank you, Gladys.
Thank you very much.
What's your name, please?
I'm John.
John, what's changed?
My weight. That's my biggest challenge was my belly, getting into my clothes. But now I've thrown a pants a couple of days ago, and it gathered, and I was a bit embarrassed because I was going to church. And I wanted to wear those pants, but I noticed that I've lost at least 15 pounds. I used to be like 205 or in the high 90s. And this morning I was 185 pounds and I felt so good.
When was the last time you were 185?
About 10, 15 years.
Oh.
At least 10 years.
How's your energy level?
My energy level is so high now that when I do my power walking, I feel like I'm going, I can't go fast enough. I feel like maybe I should jog. And that's something I haven't done in 15 or 20 years, jogging. And I found that getting out of bed, I used to have a pain in my back. And I had to, like, walk it off. Now I just spring out of bed and just walk to the bathroom or to the kitchen, wherever I'm going, and it's an amazing feeling. I smile when I feel myself walking so effortlessly, and I'm totally happy about that.
Any things with blood pressure or blood sugar?
I didn't have too much of a problem with sugar. My pressure was, I should be like in 160s, high 80s. This morning it was 132 over 68 or something like that.
You're right down there in the normal range now.
Yes.
Good for you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's your name?
My name is Elise, and I joined the group because I've been overweight my whole life, and I was out of control and very bad habits, and I was depressed from that. So joining the group with the knowledge and the tools that you're giving us every week, I feel tons better. Even though I only lost about 10 pounds, I'm losing more inches, but I'm doing yoga and meditating every day, which makes a world of difference. I'm looking forward to getting into Tai Chi, which I took a class, which I never had the nerve to do that in front of other people, but I did, and I'm going to join a group to do that. And I just feel so much better and more positive, and my posture is better, and my skin is better, and I'm just thrilled to be part of this group. I'm sleeping much better. I used to take like an Advil PM just to help me get to sleep, or I thought I needed it to get to sleep, and I haven't taken one since I've been on the program. And I just feel that it's a stepping stone, and I've been vegan for 7 years, but a very unhealthy vegan, a carboholic. So detoxing and getting all that bad stuff out of my system, I can't believe I haven't drank coffee for 3 months, and I don't want to. I have the Dandy Blend tea or the Ticino, and I can't believe that I was part of this program. I'm just so thankful to you and Luann. It's fantastic. I don't want it to end.
Well, the health won't end. It's only going to get better.
Right. I feel that now. Thank you.
Thank you. What's your name?
My name is Cynthia, and I joined the program because I was obese. I had a very fierce appetite, and because I was a prior chemo patient, I needed to make sure that my weight was more regulated and wasn't fluctuating, and I needed to lose the weight because it was a hormone receptive type. The program helped me tremendously because I did lose weight. I lost 15 pounds. I did gain more muscle, though, because of the program. I found that the program helped me to be more focused. I procrastinate less. I know in the morning time I get up and I have to do certain things, so I do it automatically. I take a nice warm bath in the morning and I meditate. I get up very early for that. I find that I have more goals. Things that I want to do, small goals, and I'm able to accomplish those, and I have even bigger goals. I have more clarity. The type of work that I have is very demanding, so it requires a lot of accuracy, and this program has helped me to be more accurate because for some reason I'm just very more clear. I'm not congested. I'm not nasal. I have more energy. So I've really benefited from this program. Thank you.
Good. What's your name?
My name is Joyce. I want to thank you, Gary, for all the life lessons that you have taught me and my husband. And the biggest thing for me is not to judge my intentions, but my actions. And that was such a crucial lesson for me to learn. I can't tell you how that resonated with me and stuck with me now, that when I go through my day, I really think about, what am I doing? Am I on the light side? Am I on the dark side? And where do I want to walk in life? And at 60, to finally learn these lessons, I can't thank you enough. And I've gone through certain other challenges with my health. And because of this program, I'm in far less pain. I was on an inhaler. I'm using it so rarely now. My heart rate was high. It's gone down to, it's still a little high, but it's dropped about 15 points. My blood pressure went from 140. It now sometimes goes to 110. So I'm in the normal range without any medication. And I had problems with reflux. I don't have to take anything at night. And you taught me to really enjoy life and to be kind to myself. And that's a lesson that was very difficult for me, to learn to take time for myself, to know that I existed on a list. So I can't thank you and Luann and John Q enough. Thank you.
Good. And what is your name?
My name is Scott.
Okay, Scott. And what did you start with?
I came here with two goals, for my cholesterol and my pressure. I had just had a quadruple bypass, which was frightening to have your chest split open. And Luann made me grovel to get into the program.
Yeah.
I really had to beg her on the telephone. But my cholesterol has dropped from 233 to 210, which I'm proud of, with just changing from a meat to a vegetarian diet. And my blood pressure has gone down to from 150 to 95 to 135 to 85. But the biggest thing that I got from the program is the discipline, because I hear your voice in my head every day when I go for my cup of coffee. Gary doesn't do that. If I go for a glass of wine, Gary doesn't do that. He's like the big role model in my life right now. And I really appreciate that. I'm very happy I've been in the program. And I'm a big listener and a big promoter of you.
Thank you. Well, we want you to be around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that discipline will prevent another operation on your heart.
That's what it's all about.
Good. Thank you very much. Those are some individuals who've made positive changes in their lives. They all come from different backgrounds, all ethnicities, races, religious orders, but they were all able to make changes. By the way, those are just people at random. Everyone in the group has made positive changes. Some have lost, one person lost 45 pounds. Other person had a 400-point drop in their blood sugar, 400 points. They were way up there, very dangerous levels. So I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.
I found my thrill.